It is honestly always a privilege to be with you, and so thank you for having me once again. As Craig referred to, you know, the about, you know, CFC and how many years it's been on the go, I have been reminded in recent weeks just how old I am, but some people think I'm an awful lot older than I actually am. My mum and dad are still alive. My dad's 96, my mum's 93, and just over a week ago they were celebrating their 72nd wedding anniversary. So I put a photograph on Facebook of their wedding day, my mum and dad. Well, all of the comments were, "Congratulations, Paul and Priscilla." Like, seriously? You know, I would have had to be married before I was born. So I've been under the weight of people assuming that I was in my 90s over the last couple of weeks. So if I'm looking a little bit worn around the edges, that's the reason why. This is Palm Sunday, and, you know, obviously when you're coming to a church on Palm Sunday, you're thinking, well, is that the passage that I should speak on? But I have been thinking over the last 2 to 3 weeks, because it was in my daily reading, about the nature of the gospel of grace. And of course, Palm Sunday is the beginning of Holy Week. We're going to be thinking about, meditating on that whole journey Jesus made to the cross, and then next Easter Sunday, celebrating the resurrection. And of course, that the whole week is about the reason Jesus went to the cross was so that you and I could experience the good news of this gospel of grace and what it means in our individual lives. I was reading, it was in my daily reading in Romans just a few weeks ago, and I think that's why it's gripped me so much. It was in Romans chapter 5. I just want to, I'm going to read another passage in a moment, but I just want to read one of the verses out of Romans 5 that struck me in relationship to grace. And it said this: "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we've peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." And as I read that verse, I just felt like I got a picture of Jesus, you know, because it says you've gained access into this grace. So I got a picture of Jesus kind of opening a door and me stepping through. And it felt like the Holy Spirit whispered to me, "Priscilla, you get to live in a world of grace." And as I thought about that and, you know, let the wonder of that sort of catch my heart again, I just thought, Lord, isn't it a tragedy? If we went out into Craigavon today and asked people what their impressions of Christianity was, that some of them would say, well, it's about rules and regulations, you know, it's about people are a wee bit judgmental. You know, they might use words like that. And I think we have such a good news message. This gospel of grace is so amazing. And when we give our lives to Jesus, we get to live in it. This is the world we get to live in, that we experience that unconditional love that God has for us. We experience our sins being forgiven and being made new in Christ. We experience living in the good of being children of God and all that that brings with it. And there's also an aspect of it that with the world of grace we live in, that we're given grace. You know, we're given grace for situations. Craig prayed for many of you this morning that might be struggling in certain areas. But when we live in a world of grace, we're given grace for the things that we're facing. We're given grace for that difficult person that we work with. Or even the difficult person in our own family. We're given grace for all sorts of situations that we're facing in our everyday lives. And again, this is a age thing. I've been listening a lot to older hymns, and some of them, you know, haven't listened to for a long time. And there was one yesterday I was listening to, and it's "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow deeper. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. With multiplied trials, he multiplies mercy. With multiplied sorrows, he multiplies peace. That was going over and over in my head yesterday. He gives more grace. This is the world of grace you and I get to live in as followers of Jesus Christ. And it's so amazing. It's so good news. It's so precious that we should defend it. We should defend it. And because we have got this message of good news to share with the world that you and I inhabit on a daily basis. And that's the interesting thing about the New Testament, especially Paul the Apostle. He is such a defender of the good news of the gospel of grace. He doesn't want anything to challenge that because he knows its value and he knows its worth. And in a sense, that's what I want to unpack for you this morning a little bit, which things that you will know, but I want the Holy Spirit to underline for you. When you come into your relationship with Jesus Christ, here are some of the things that are so valuable to us that we want to defend. And so I want to read to you a little portion out of Galatians, because Galatians is almost like our manifesto of freedom as Christians. That's what the letter is all about. And so this is what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, and I'm going to read 11 to 21 to you. And he says, when Cephas, that was Peter, when he came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, you're a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And this is what he says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. These are amazing verses where Paul is passionately defending this gospel of grace. In fact, it's almost like he takes a sledgehammer to any thought or idea that would challenge that. I think it was a couple of years ago, I watched a film called Hidden Figures, and it was about three black women who worked for NASA. And it was in the days of segregation, and one of the women got promoted and she was moved to an all-white section of the building. And the toilets, the restrooms, as they would call them in America, were for whites only. And so she used to have to walk half a mile to go to the loo. And her boss one day was given off to her about why she was late at her desk. And so she was, you know, she was raging, and she told him, you know, I have to walk half a mile to get to the loo. So he took a sledgehammer and broke, you know, took a sledgehammer to the sign for whites only and smashed the for whites only sign. And he says, from now on, there are no white restrooms, there are only restrooms. And he took the sledgehammer to the sign. And honestly, whenever I read these verses in Galatians, it just seems to me that Paul's taken a sledgehammer to the divisions within the Galatian church. And he's taken a sledgehammer, and he does it regularly through the New Testament. I think there was a bit of an Ulster man on Paul, really. And he takes a sledgehammer to anything that challenges this gospel of grace, because he is underlining it. It's really good. Read Galatians this week. Take a minute and just read the whole. I always think when with Paul's letters, it is a letter. So rather than, you know, always dissecting it, just take a wee minute and read the whole letter, because it's all about Christian freedom. And it's Paul's passionate defense of this gospel of grace, which was under attack. It was under attack from false teachers. That's why he talks a lot about the law, and he talks about Judaizers. They were people who wanted to impose Jewish law on Gentiles who hadn't lived by those laws before, and they were wanting to impose them and saying that that was part of the gospel. And Paul is saying, absolutely not. And I think he's passionate about this because he's passionate about Jesus. He's passionate about what Jesus had done for us at the cross. And Jesus was the one who transformed him. Jesus was the one who set him free. And anything that took away from what Jesus had done on the cross for him and for us, that was anathema to him. And so that's why he's so forceful, and he doesn't pull any punches. And also he's motivated by love for the Galatians. He talks to them and describes them as his dear children. And they would have known that Paul cared about them, that he loved them. And so I think, you know, when you read about him challenging, you know, in their day, the greats, it was Peter, you know, he was prepared to challenge Peter. He was prepared to challenge Barnabas, but he'd earned the right to do that because he loved God's people. He loved the gospel. He loved Jesus. And so he was prepared even to challenge those guys that other people maybe would have been afraid to do that. And so I think our enemy, the devil, his tactics haven't changed that much. He still is out to undermine this gospel of grace. And if you and I have walked through that door that Jesus opened for us to gain access to this world of grace, then I really believe that the Holy Spirit is saying to us, then it's such an amazing message. Then, like Paul, it's really important that we defend this message of grace, because the enemy's tactics remain the same. The things that he brought against Paul, the things that he brought against Peter and the other disciples, are the same things that he will bring against you and I today. And he does intimidate us. And I think there's never been a day when Christians have been intimidated to the same extent to shut up and to say nothing. He was out to rob Paul and Peter and the others of their authentic voices. He was intimidating them. He was making them afraid. Even the great Peter. It says that these people coming to the Galatian church had intimidated him enough for him to change even his lifestyle. And that boldness that he demonstrated at Pentecost, here was the same man intimidated by these Judaizers and robbed of his authentic voice. And actually, Paul even says to him, he says, Peter, you're a hypocrite. I mean, it would have taken some courage to do that. And so can I just say to you this morning, do not let Satan rob you of your voice. Do not let Satan rob you of your authentic voice. That's what he's out to do. And he's out to present a gospel to our world which is far, far removed from the truth of what's in Scripture. a gospel of grace, a gospel of love, a gospel of forgiveness, and the truth of who we are as human beings without God and how we need a Savior. And it is a wonderful message, but he will do everything he can to make you zip it. Say, what you can't speak in this society. You have nothing to say. And, you know, we've just passed St. Patrick's Day, and this also has been resonating in my heart. You know, Patrick was not Irish. He came as a missionary here, and he had a vision. And the vision was called the voice of the Irish. He heard the Irish calling him back to this island. And honestly, I really believe that the voice of the Irish is being raised up again. I think in our society, there are people who are broken, who are hopeless, who haven't found any answers. Do you know, there might even be a couple of you who have been dragged along in here this morning, and you know, and you are feeling that hopelessness. And I believe the Lord is hearing the voice of the Irish again. And here in Hope, God is raising you up as a community, I believe, as a church community. He's raising you up as a voice in this community, in this society, to speak the truth of the gospel of grace to people who are calling out for it. I mean, the Irish were saying, come, Patrick, walk amongst us again. I think there is a desperation in our community at the minute, and that people are, they don't really know what they're looking for, but there's a cry from their hearts that heaven hears. And then we are called to respond. Do not let the enemy rob you of your voice, because when you find your voice in Christ, it is powerful and it's effective. Valerie, you led our prayer meeting this morning. Before you all came in, we were in the back praying. And as you led the prayer meeting, I felt like even as you did it, it was almost representative of what God was doing here amongst you in Hope. I feel that he is strengthening your voice as never before. And Craig, he's making a way into places perhaps that you never had the chance or the opportunity to speak into before. And I think there's a sharpening of your voice. And Valerie, especially for you, I think the Lord is sharpening your voice and giving you a new authority in terms of not just speaking into our lives, but I think he's given you real authority in spiritual warfare and in bringing down what the enemy's plans and purposes are. And more than that, Valerie, I think it is also about equipping other young men and young women in this place also for them to find their voice, to know that God has given them a voice when they come into a relationship with him. So don't be intimidated. This young woman here sitting right now, don't you be intimidated by the enemy. Don't you let him intimidate you, because God has done a wonderful work in your life. And we all talk about, we've stories to tell. And you've got a story to tell and a story to share, which the enemy would love for you not to share. He'd love for you to be intimidated enough for you to back off. And the Lord says, no, your story is worth sharing. And I think, again, the Lord's going to give you opportunities to do that in a very natural way. It'll just be natural. It'll not put pressure on you. But you'll be able to tell your story. And your story will help other people see that in Jesus, they too can find their authentic and their voice. So don't let the enemy intimidate you. That was the first thing. That was his first tactic in trying to undermine this gospel of grace. And even, you know, Barnabas was even taken in by what was going on. And sometimes how we act out of fear can impact others, but how we act out of faith can really impact others. And these are days. I really do believe that the Holy Spirit is stirring something. And, you know, we pray for revival. We cry out to God for revival. I do think there's a stirring at the minute. And honestly, I think it is. I mean, I'm hoping that all of us in another generation won't be left out. But there's a stirring in a younger generation. and that he is doing something amongst our young people to help them to see that they have a part and a place to play that is absolutely vital. And I can't move away from it. I mean, you're sitting very, very near the back. You're a young lad. You have a grey hoodie on. I think you're about three in from the back. And if you don't know who you are, I'll get you afterwards. You're not sitting by the, I think it's a two-seater. It's like a plane, an aeroplane. You're a two-seater and you're the one on the aisle. So you're bound to know. You wouldn't even do a wee thumbs up if you know who I'm talking to. Yes, good man. You know, sometimes the Lord just lets my eyes fall on people, and I'm trusting that it's because his eye has fallen on you. And he wants you to know this morning that your voice is going to count. I think it counts already, but I actually think the Lord wants to say to you, son, my hand is on your life. And I have placed gifts on the inside of you, and I have called you to be an influencer. If you follow Jesus and you stay close to him, you will influence many to become followers of Jesus. I think left to your own devices, you could influence many to go the opposite direction. But God has got a hold of you, and he wants you to know that this morning. He wants you to know that he sees you. He sees what he's placed in you. He loves you. And he wants to pour his Holy Spirit into you to give you a boldness and a courage. I think that you're going to find that you're going to have a courage that you never imagined would be possible. And in that courage, God is going to cause you at times to open your mouth in ways that is even going to surprise yourself. But you will influence many to be a follower of Jesus. As long as you make a commitment, Lord, it's all about you and it's all for you, and I'm going to follow after you, and I'm going to ask you to disciple me and train me and teach me, because I want to be that influencer for you. And I think that young lad is just representative of many of you in this room and what God is doing within this generation. Do not let the enemy intimidate you. And the other thing that the enemy continually does is he tries to take us back to being enslaved again. This book of Galatians, this letter of Galatians, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And what the enemy does is we're brought into this freedom, but he tries to entrap us, he tries to enslave us, he tries to chain us down again. And Paul recognized that the false teaching that they were experiencing was bringing them under the bondage of keeping all the rules and regulations again. And you'd think, well, when Jesus had set them free from all that stuff, why on earth would you choose law over grace? Doesn't seem to make any sense. And, you know, I know in today's world we're wary of people, you know, offering us something for nothing. As we all say, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And I think for the most part, we are a little bit suspicious if we're offered something that seems to have no cost to it. I think we find it difficult, too, to be on the receiving end of things. But grace, I think grace can make us feel powerless and out of control. Because you see, it is that God says to you this morning, whatever you have done in your life, whatever this week has held, whatever yesterday or even this morning has held, I love you. I love you passionately. I love you unconditionally. Nothing you can do will make me love you less. I think for the most part, we actually find that hard to really receive and really believe. Like, seriously, we find it difficult to really truly grasp and to believe. And I think legalism, it does appeal to our pride. I mean, we look at the Pharisees and how they reacted to Jesus, and we become a little bit like Pharisees when we go, well, we're not like that. You know, we're not like them. But, you know, sometimes I think Even as Christians, we say, Lord, it's all about you. It's all about Jesus. But it's sort of comforting. There's a wee bit of me in there. But the Lord says that he wants us to realize that this gospel of grace is a free gift, that there's nothing for us to do except come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just come to him. In all of your mess, in all of your confusion, even in all of your doubt, I just feel there's a cry in my heart today that says, come. Come to Jesus. Because he loves you unconditionally. He died for you. There is nothing for you to do in order for you to receive his salvation, in order for you to receive forgiveness, in order for you to be recreated as a new person. Come to Jesus. It's all about the grace of God. Because if it wasn't that, if it's that we add a wee bit to it, then I think that puts us in a place of feeling that God owes us something. God, you know, look at me. Look how I'm living for you. Look what I'm sacrificing for you. Look, you know, look what I'm doing for you. Now, God, you know, I'm expecting you to come through for me. And I'm sure I've said it here before, but the place that Jesus came through for you was at the cross. He gave his life for you. You know, see, I hear Christians even saying, well, you know, we put our house in the market and we prayed and we believed that God asked us to put our house in the market and the house hasn't sold and I just feel really disappointed in the Lord. Like, seriously? And we pick on these little things and we go, wait, you know, I'm just disappointed he hasn't come through for me. He died a bloody death for us. That's where he came through for us. And I have to come back to this place over and over and over again because it's not that I don't have the conversations with the Lord. I do. I promise I do. But I have to come back to it time and time again and go, Lord, if you never did another thing for me, that's enough. That in itself is enough. And he's done more and more and more than I could ever share in a morning like this. But let's not add anything to the amazing grace of God. Years and years ago, at the early days of CFC, I actually love this story. We had, I think it was a conference we were holding or something. And you know, because of all that was happening in Northern Ireland, we did do a lot of united prayer meetings across denominations and everything. People came together, prayed together for the country. And at this particular conference, we had asked a Catholic priest to come and share. He was somebody that we'd got to know. We loved Jesus. And so we got him to come and share. And so people obviously got word about it. And there were protesters outside. And they were giving us a heart. Well, we were a lot younger then, so we thought that was great. You know, we thought that was quite exciting. Anyway, they were all yelling at us and the placards and everything. I actually met one of the protesters recently, and he said he was only 18 and he'd left school, and he had written something on a, or somebody had told him to write something on a placard, and he said, you know, I didn't even know what it meant. But anyway, we went in and... So Paul then said, well, look, why don't we go out and have a chat with them? And he took the Catholic priest out with him. I thought, flip me, that's like throwing him to the lion's den. But anyway, they went out and they were all shouting at him and saying, you know, you don't believe in a gospel of grace, you believe in a gospel of works. And he just had a moment of genius and he says, so you're saying to me that I can only be a Christian if it's Jesus alone and nothing else. And they were saying, yes, that's absolutely right. Jesus alone and nothing else. He says, but actually, you're preaching a gospel of works because you're saying that it's Jesus alone plus not being a member of the Catholic Church. So he said, that's a gospel of works. That's not a gospel of grace. And one of them had the grace to say, well, maybe he's got a point. But I think he probably stoned later. But then, but it is this thing of let's be protective of this amazing gospel of grace. And the third thing that I just want to highlight is that if we don't protect the freedom that we have through the gospel of grace, and it's what the enemy does as well, it's he attacks our identity in Christ. He always attacks our identity in Christ. In the Old Testament, when the people of God lost sight of who they were, then they ended up enslaved and defeated. You know, whenever Israel was facing the Philistines and Goliath was challenging them day after day, he yelled at them about being servants of Saul. That he was attacking their identity. Because when David came along, what did David say? Oh, no, no, no. We're not servants of Saul. We're the armies of the living God. David had an understanding of who they were. The enemy was trying to rob them of their identity. And over again, that's what the enemy will do for us. He'll try to undermine who you are in Christ. And he'll have us running around in circles, trying to reinvent ourselves and also struggling with our sense of worth and our insecurities. But Paul declares who he is with such clarity and joy. And he says this, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The person I was, the person you were, the person Paul was before we met Christ, that person's dead. So why are we so self-obsessed? It means that we become self-obsessed with dead things. You have been crucified with Christ if you've come to Christ. That old life is over with. You're dead to that life. And God has allowed you to be reborn by the power of his Holy Spirit. And this is who you now are. You have a whole new identity. You're alive in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. Let the Holy Spirit, and again, there's some of you in the room today, you really need to let the Holy Spirit shut the door to your past. And he says, the Lord says to you, you've come to me. I have forgiven you. That door is closed. When the enemy tries to open it and point things out in your past, you go, that's a dead thing. I have been crucified with Christ. There is a guy, and I'm never going to be able to identify you, but I just, the only thing I'm going to do, I am going to do this. Because it'll take me all day to say who you are. If it's seen I'm not too old, I would have been able to pick you out. I just really feel like the Lord is saying, son, I've opened new doors of possibility for you. The old doors from your past are shut firmly tight, and the enemy has no right to open them again. I am with you, and I feel like the Lord is saying, don't look back. I want you to, again, an old song, fix your eyes on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And I feel like the Lord is saying, as you fix your eyes on me, then the enemy will not be able to try and constantly remind you of stuff before. He says, the Lord says, it's over with, it's done with, the door is shut, and now you have a new path to walk in me. It's a path of grace. It's a path of redemption. It's a path where you need to know that I am for you. I'm not against you. And I feel like the Lord saying, come on, son, I'm cheering for you. I'm cheering you on. But I also feel like the Lord is saying he really is opening up to get ready almost, that he's opening up new doors of opportunity for you that will actually bring a real sense of fulfillment, and you'll start to understand who he created you to be in a way that you maybe haven't understood up to this point, because something about how you have you know, what you think about yourself is to do with what's going on in the past. And the Lord says, no, that's not who you are. I created something much more precious, and I'm going to draw that out. So the new doors are opening. Anyway, I'm not going to do too much of that because I'm not fit enough. So let's protect that identity that we have in Christ, because that will be one of the things that the enemy will constantly attack in our lives. And just very briefly, I just want to mention this. The reason why Paul is so strong about this is because he could see the disunity that was being created in the church. The Judaizers were bringing a spirit of disunity. Peter used to sit with his Gentile brothers and sisters and eat with them, and now he'd stopped doing that. And anything that fosters disunity is from Satan. And I would say to you, hope God has created something really precious here. But if he can bring disunity amongst you, then that will undermine so much of what he wants to do. And I would reiterate to you, guard your heart. Guard your heart. And I mean your corporate heart. Guard your corporate heart, because there's a wellspring of life in this place. And if you let disunity come in, be sensitive. You know, sometimes we give out about things and we give off about things, and it's only our own personal preference. And sometimes you just have to die to your own personal preferences for the good of the family and the good of the church and the good of the community. Don't let the devil create disunity amongst you. Guard your hearts above all else. So he will come again and again to challenge this amazing grace. This grace where, because of Christ's death, we get the free gift of salvation. We get forgiveness. We get reconciled to God. We get brought into his family. This free gift that's offered to every single person in the room this morning. Many, many, many of you have responded and have received it, but there may be some who have at this point not done that yet. And that free gift has been offered to you today. And we're not going to water down the wonderful gospel of grace for anything. You know, our motivation is that I have experienced this liberating truth in my life. I get to live in this world of grace. I want you to experience it as well. I want you to experience, and it's the Holy Spirit who reveals this to us, the Ephesians 3 verse, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love. That you and I walk out of here today into whatever lies ahead of us today, whatever lies ahead of us this week, that we walk in the truth of God's love being shed abroad in our hearts, and then our lives touch other people with this wonderful, wonderful message of grace. And so as the band come and join me now, I just want us to take a moment. I want us to take a moment to say, if we have received this gift, Lord, thank you. Thank you again. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Just open my eyes again to the wonder of what you've done in my life. Thank you for the new identity I have in Christ. Thank you, you've given me a voice, and I'm not going to be intimidated by the enemy. I'm not going to be robbed of my identity. I know who I am as a child of God. Thank you, Lord. But it might be that there may be one or two, and you're saying, Priscilla, I'm up to receive this free gift this morning. I've heard it before, it's not new to me, but I just haven't taken the step to say, Lord, I want to receive this free gift.